You're listening to Mornings with Kelly and Steve on Moody Radio, from the Word to Life.
Well, it wasn't too long ago that you'd heard the fact that coming up is our biblical worldview question of the week.
Mm-hmm. It's a good one.
And it has.
They all are.
That time is here. The time mm-hmm. is now. It has arrived. The moment you've all been waiting for. One Nancy Fitzgerald of Anchors Away joining us live. Good morning to you, Nancy.
Oh, boy. Good morning. How are you? Good morning, Kelly.
Good morning.
You know, I have to roll out the red, the verbal red carpet for you.
And it just rolls and rolls.
Right off his tongue. Boy. I know. Right out there.
I digress. Let's move into our biblical worldview question
of
the week
with
Nancy
ready.
Fitzgerald of Anchors Away. Hey, Nancy, it is Holy Week, and so all eyes are fixed on the cross at Calvary and the experience of Jesus in the Passion Week. And you raised a really, really excellent question for us to tackle this week, because when we think of the disciples, they were all just but men. They were just everyday Joes. They came from all mm-hmm. different backgrounds. They were all mm-hmm. fallible. But one in particular, mm-hmm. we have to ask this question. Kelly, this is super I'm excited about this.
Yeah, it really is. Nancy, why did Jesus choose Judas Iscariot of all people to be his disciple?
Well, you know, I clearly have always kind of wondered that. God never makes mistakes, but in this case, he is being sovereign. You know, what is going on, God, with this guy? And after really digging in this week and looking at everything that I could find, it makes perfect sense. It's the Easter story. It's the resurrection story right there in this guy. You know, we just can't outthink God. He is way beyond us. But this is a great question. Why did Jesus choose Judas Iscariot to be his disciple? Tim Hansel writes a humorous piece on how a job recruiter might see the potential of Jesus's disciples. And I love this, and it gets us right to the issue here. He writes this: "It is the staff opinion that most of your nominees are lacking in background, education, vocational aptitude for the type of enterprise you are undertaking. They don't have the team concept. We would recommend that you continue your search for persons of experience of managerial ability and proven capability. Simon Peter is emotionally unstable and given to fits of temper. Andrew has absolutely no qualities of leadership. The two brothers, James and John, sons of Zebedee, place personal interest above company loyalty. But one of the candidates, however, shows great potential. He's a man of ability, resourcefulness. He meets people well. He has a keen business mind and has contacts in high places. He is highly motivated, ambitious, and responsible. We recommend Judas Iscariot as your controller and right-hand man." And, you know, I read this, and part of me is saying this is just to the odd ridiculum, but no, it really isn't. Because on paper, Judas looked far superior to the other disciples. But the good news is, in God's world, is that he looks on the heart. And Judas's heart was beyond deceitfully evil.
Well, knowing that, though, you know, the fact that God looks at the heart, that's his primary concern. Mm-hmm. And he would have known Judas's heart well in advance of making this choice of Jesus calling him as a disciple. It makes that even more puzzling, Nancy. How do we reconcile that whole choice?
Yes, it does. But in the interim, it reminds us that we must understand that Jesus' ways are not our ways. He doesn't think like we think. He knows the end. He knows every step we take to the end of time. And, you know, he is all-knowing and sovereign. over absolutely everything. He is never surprised, never has been, and never will be. Jesus knew exactly what Judas was thinking and what he would do. He knew his heart. He knew he was a devil, a thief, an unbeliever, spiritually unclean, and came off, listen to this, as being religious, probably the most religious by far of all the disciples. And the connect to today is that sadly, we see that he fits the profile of many religious leaders in this world that Jesus came to save. Those are the ones Jesus came to save, as evil, despicable as they are. And God has given him, it's so interesting here, God gave him an important position in the family of disciples. And the cool thing is, we need to remember this, he never shut the door of salvation to him. Yes, it was prophesied. you'll notice at the supper, he put him on the right hand. He was in the place of honor, but yet he knew what he'd do, but still he left that up to him for choice. In some of the scripture alluding to this, John 6:70-71, and Jesus answers them, "Did I not choose you, the 12? And yet one of you is a devil." And he spoke of Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot. For he, one of the 12, was going to betray him. And then he says in John 12:6, and he said, not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. Having charge of the money bag, he used to help himself what was put into it. So the point is, not he was just evil, but he was also stealing money. And how often do we read this kind of stuff today? And then John 6:64, but there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who those were who did not believe and who it was who would betray him. Again, Jesus' plan was going to go through. He knew the heart, but he again offered salvation to Judas and he turned it down.
And Nancy, when we think about Judas, I think, you know, we can all get so really just aggravated reading the story, because we can see historically now what he was all about. We know the end that he came to, and it can be really super easy to just fall into being disgusted with him for the way he behaved. And then we got to ask ourselves, okay, yet God sent Jesus for everybody's sake. Mm. So then we have to stop maybe and rethink how we're feeling, because we got to ask ourselves, and I'm asking you, how do you think God felt about Judas?
Yeah, it's one of those bracelets people used to wear, you know. What would Jesus do at this point? You know, and I think most of us as human beings, especially the in business of some sort, we kick him out. I mean, there's no question. But not God. And despite his deceitful heart, he's evil, God loved him. And this is the message for us. He died for every one of those heedful or hurtful, evil, deceitful hearts out there. And those of us who are listening and participating in this program, every one of us, in a way, are Judas. And this is the thing. Not only did he love, but he gave him every chance to repent. He kept him close to his side. And sadly, it appeared that Judas really had no idea who God was or is, nor the grace that he was offering to him and all people as well. And again, sadly, so typical of Christians, so many Christians today, not only in the first century, but now. And he was seen as a religious man. Judas was religious. He knew the Old Testament that was taught by Jesus, God incarnate, God himself. He was firsthand right next to the miracles, you know? And he went right on performing his religious duties on the outside. He purported to be a very kind and caring person, but in the inside, there was so much evil. And it's the thing that happens with greed. Satan gets hold of us. We want more than God has given us. And then it all begins to unwind. And this is exactly what was happening. But the sad thing is, there's so many people out there purporting to be kind and nice who know the word of God, but yet are using it for their own self-promotion. And we see this here in Corinthians. For such men are false apostles, deceitful workmen, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. So it's no surprise if his servants also disguise themselves as angels of righteousness. Their end will correspond to their deeds. In other words, God will have vengeance on those people. He hates that, but loves those who are deceitfully wicked like us. It is the most incredible act of love that goes way beyond human understanding. And, you know, in the end, God used Judas to fulfill his plan to sacrifice his son for the redemption of all mankind, past, present, and future. And the death of Jesus Christ was not an accident. It didn't just randomly happen. That was prophesied in the Old Testament. You know, we've talked about this. We teach this. There are the prophecies about the death and resurrection. The Old Testament was full of them. So God knew what he was doing. And we thank God for pushing through and using people, even those who are evil, to bring about what happened here. Psalm 41 says, even my close friend in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted his heel against me. That's referring to the supper that Jesus had with his disciples. If you think good, give me my peace. 30 pieces of silver. And this is one of the prophecies that is written in Zechariah 11, 12, and 13. That Jesus would be betrayed for 30 pieces of silver. It's all over the scripture. Matthew 26, 24. The Son of Man goes as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of God is betrayed. There it is right there. It would have been better for that man if he had not been born. And that is talking about his final decision to walk away from Jesus and continue in his evil plot to kill him. John 13:18, I'm not speaking of you all. I know whom I've chosen, but the scripture will be fulfilled. He who ate my bread has lifted his heel against me, and that's in John 13. So again, Jesus is saying, you know, I know who I chose. This is not an accident. But I came to die for the Judases of the world, too, is what he's saying here. Mm. It's the most amazing love. When you talk and sing about amazing love, this is what it is. It goes beyond human understanding that somebody like Judas. And then we look in the mirror and we give thanks to God. Yes, Lord, you know, for the Judas and all of us. Thank you.
Well, Nancy, we've just got about 2 minutes left here, but how do we understand and reconcile this for someone? We know that God is creator of all things. We know that he is good. But how would we explain the presence of evil to somebody who is asking whether or not God created evil?
Yes, and this is a really good place to close down, because our righteous God does not create evil. But he does use the brokenness of men to create good.
Mm, yeah.
God will never participate in sin, ever. Oh, but in his power and wisdom, he can and oftentimes does use sin to fulfill his purpose. And this is the case. Judas was chosen with God's foreknowledge that he would betray Jesus. But his betrayal, rather than stop God's plan for salvation, actually advanced it. And in the middle of the chaos that Judas, you know, created, God was about to be glorified. In the mess, he was going to be glorified. Jesus always gave Jesus or Judas a way out.
Yeah.
That was the big thing here. And he loved him in spite of knowing what he was doing. And Judas and the others who condemned and crucified Jesus were not without fault. Judas Iscariot bore the responsibility for what he chose to do. He wasn't forced to do it. And in the end, Judas Iscariot got what he deserved. He hung himself on a tree and faced judgment. And in the end, Jesus said, the Son of Man will go just as it is written about him. But woe to the man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him not to be born. And this is the whole point here, is that God gives us choices, but they're serious choices. And when we see what happened to Judas Iscariot, loved by God, given chances, and in the end, and the reality is that those who do not have Jesus will spend eternity separated from him in a place we know as hell. And that's just it. He who has a son has life. He who doesn't have the son does not have life. That is God's plan, and he allows us to make decisions. So again, remember God's love for those. It's a great lesson for us in this season to love those who have betrayed us. They need Jesus. They don't need our anger. They need Jesus. God gave him a chance, and really, as Christians, we need to give those people in our life who have hurt us, all this kind of thing, give them a chance to redeem themselves before the presence of God.
Yeah.
Wow, that is a very, I'm sure, direct word to the heart of a lot of people listening this morning. Nancy, give them a chance. You've been listening to the Biblical Worldview Question of the Week with Nancy Fitzgerald of Anchors Away. Biblical Worldview Ministry based in Carmel will get your young people involved, and they can learn how to stand firm in their faith, because they are going to age out of that youth group, you guys. They are going to take off for college or leave home to enter the workforce, and their faith is going to be challenged, and they need to know how to defend it. And if you'd like more information about Anchors Away, two ways to get it. You can click on the resources tab at kellyandsteve.org. Or hop on over to anchorsaway.org.
You're listening to Mornings with Kelly and Steve on Moody Radio, from the Word to Life.